Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb,
go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
Stay the f*** at home. The Rona is spreading. This f*** is no joke. It's no time to work or roam. The way you can fight it is simple, my friends. Just stay the f*** at home. Now, technically, I'm not a doctor. But mother f*** listen when I read a poem. So here I am, Sam f***ing Jackson, imploring you. Keep your ass at home. If you want things to get back to normal, don't panic. Just use your dome. Wash your hands, stop touching your face, and stay the f*** at home. Motherfucker, it's no time to gamble. Look around, you're not at a casino. Just stay the f*** home as if your name was Trenton Quarantino. Sure, you can still see your friends. Use the mother app on your phone. But unless you just ran out of groceries, please stay the f*** at home. Thank you for doing your part to flatten the curve, because that is steep. And now that you're home, please feel free to go the f*** to sleep. Be it.
'98.5 The Sports Hub. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. A lot of piano songs talking about staying home.
Samuel Jackson doing liners.
I got that.
Touche and Rich. I'm trying to find that clip. You completely mispronounced the name of the show. Touche and Rich.
Yeah, I got that. It's a pandemic now of people doing acoustic or piano songs about staying home.
Touche and Rich.
That's
yes,
right.
Thank you, Sam Jackson.
Yeah. If I hear another one of those songs, I'm just going to go start running around with 10 people.
That wasn't a song. That was him reading a book. That was on the Kimmel Show. There was that book that came out, Go the F to Sleep. That he did the reading for, like the book on tape, and so he did a version of that Stay the F Home.
Yeah. Him and that old guy. If I hear one more, I'm going out with 20 people. And I can't take it anymore with these songs. Anyway, we are the Touch Your Radio program. Yesterday I decided that I was not going to be able to get a haircut for the foreseeable future, so I shaved my head, and I shaved my beard.
Oh.
And I put it on Instagram, at Fred Toucher, influencer, at Fred Toucher, and lots of nice comments coming in.
I can imagine.
People very excited about it.
So I saw that picture that you posted, and I'm not joking when I say this. I'm being 100% serious. I said, why is Fred posting a picture of Matt Chatham? You're Matt Chatham. Like, a matter of fact, I want to send that picture to Matt Chatham this morning and say, make this face, and I want to put them side by side. Like, you look exactly like Matt Chatham with no beard and no hair.
But I've been called worse.
No, I mean, Matt Chatham's obviously, you know, he's not a bad looking guy.
No, he's not a bad looking guy. But I've been called much worse. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Yes, I decided just to shave it. I shaved my face. I shaved my head. I mean, when's the next time we're going to be able to get a haircut? And I didn't want greasy hair all over the place. I didn't want, I just didn't want anything. I wanted to just be clean. Mm-hmm. Clean during the coronavirus. And I assume when this is finally over, I will have hair.
It makes you faster in the pool. You're slippery now.
Well, if I could find a pool, yes. If I was at Zolak's house, I could swim every day. I could, make stuffed peppers and then swim every day. But yes, I've decided to, and I don't have a real shaver, so you can't put like a clip on it. So it's just completely almost bald.
Yeah.
So I
did the same. I bought the little thing that they use at the. I found like a $50 version of the little thing that they do with the when you get your hair cut, the buzzers with the extensions that you put on the front.
When did you buy it?
I bought it probably a week ago.
Mine's on order, and it won't get to my house till April 11th.
Okay, yeah, I only got it just like 2 days ago, but I ordered it like a week ago, and I think on Saturday. I'm just having the kids go at it and just being like, hey, man, you know, whatever, if you give me a haircut. Because it doesn't matter. You know, Fred's exactly right. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter how any of us look. So I was just like, all right, let's see what they'll come up with if I just let them loose on my head. And then, you know, you roll with it, and that's basically it. But I'll probably end up doing something very similar to you, Fred, just going, I just take it all off after a while.
Yeah, just shave it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not walking around with that greasy head. And I don't want to shower every day. I mean, come on, let's get it. Let's get serious. If I don't work out, I don't want to shower every day. So there you go. Just shave it off. Shave the beard. Shave the head. Just clean, like you're in solitary confinement. Just clean it all. So that's the idea, and that was the idea yesterday. And my kids were very frightened, by the way. Did not like it.
Oh, yeah, it takes a little bit to get used to. Like, I've shaved my head before, and my kids are like, whoa, that is not, like, it weirds them out for a while.
Well, I shaved half my head, and I came downstairs, and they didn't notice it for a good 15 minutes.
You mean like the left half? Like it was
I shaved the right half of my head.
Okay.
And then I came downstairs and they didn't notice it for like, and then I had to kind of like go, hey, and then have them look at me. And then they go, oh, like they weren't paying any attention to me. So they were just, it was a new thing to them. They went, oh, you got your head shaved. And then they went, oh. So, yeah, that's it. This is the most my head's been shaved ever. Even Cuts for a Cause, the most of my head's been shaved ever. So we'll see how long it takes to grow back. Some scarring in the back, no question about it. And then I put the photo up on Instagram, and I saw that sometimes you forget, but I saw that my nose is incredibly crooked, and my left eye doesn't open as wide as my right eye from the beatings that I've taken in my life. So if you ever questioned that the fights I've been in and getting hit with guns and stuff like that, take a look at the face. It tells the tale. The crooked nose, the inability to open my left eye all the way, these tell the tales of prior beatings. So not fair fights, not fair fights, but nonetheless, it tells the tale. My nose has not been straight since eighth grade. I've had my nose broken five or six times. So, my nose is, and I've had it fixed, sort of, and it's still crooked as S. So, yeah, you can tell that immediately if you go to Instagram. I'm an influencer, at Fred Tuncher. You can see that very, very easily, that the things have gone haywire in some way. So, there you go. I have shaved my head. I've been told I look like a thumb. I've been told I look like George the Animal Steel. I've been told I look like testicles.
What did Milo call you?
I don't think he made fun of me.
Oh, I thought that he would have hopped on board immediately and done that. No?
Nah. Okay. No, I mean, they were kind of like freaked out, but then they touched it, and then they liked the texture of it. They liked the feeling of it.
Oh, yeah, they'll rub it a lot. They'll just, while you're not even paying attention, they'll just come up behind you and start rubbing it.
Yeah. So, yeah, once they found the texture of it, they found that to be very pleasing. So that's what I had going on yesterday.
But I'm not joking. I thought it was a picture of Matt Chatham.
Well, he's a muscular dude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for, thinking that was me. Or thinking that was Matt Chatham. Because, we're both we both played ball a little bit. You know, we both played a little bit of the pigskin.
Both really handsome.
In a rugged way, John.
Yeah,
in a rugged way. We're both very handsome. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling that that's by the time we are able to get back into society, that my hair will be at least an inch long at that point. So that is what my hope is. So it will be like a calendar, like an advent calendar. Every like millimeter it grows is another day that we might get back to some sense of normalcy. But we shall see. We shall see. I mean, they're talking about canceling the college football season, and that is not good. That is not good. Not happy stuff happening right now. Not happy.
We got events being canceled in June and July overseas.
Yep. Wimbledon is done. That's the beginning of July, so that is not going to happen
British
now.
British Open, you're supposed to start middle of July in the UK, also called off. Nope, not good.
No.
I think even when they feel like this is pretty much, almost done with, there's always going to be that hesitancy to be the first one to do something big, like to have a big event. Like, I wonder how long it's going to be until people feel okay to go to concerts again. That was the one thing I was thinking. And this sucked because this was like, how many times did I say this is the summer of great concerts? Like, everyone was coming in town. This was going to be it. And now, everyone got screwed. We're going to get Rob probably the chance to see Vince Neil on stage. At Fenway Park, which is the ultimate bummer.
Well, yeah, mass gatherings will stop, but I mean, for the economy, they're talking about 35% unemployment. I mean, that's worse than anything.
I mean,
that's worse than the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's going to be a point where they're going to have to kind of go, all right, let's roll this out a little bit. Let's let things get a little bit. But mass gatherings, yeah, I think you're right. I think mass gatherings are going to take a little while to get people comfortable with, but there's going to be a point where people have to get back to work, or the repercussions of that could last, I don't know, 10 years. So there's going to have to be a point where they go, all right, we're losing jobs.
Any business is going to pick lives over economy, and that's the thing, is that no one's
lives is 35% of unemployment. I mean 35% of people don't have jobs. That's not good.
It's better than people dead.
I mean, you're killing people by not having them work. I mean, 35% unemployment is, You got to weigh the pros and cons of it at certain points.
Well, I mean, think the ultimate con is being dead. So I think the cons definitely outweigh whatever pro there is.
So you would be comfortable with 35% unemployment?
No, hell no. But I'd be more comfortable with that than more people dying, yes.
Because you have a job. If you didn't have a job and you couldn't pay your mortgage, you would
I'd rather be alive and not have a job than be dead.
But you're not going to get... You're not going to die.
Yeah, but other people may. Older people... And by the way, you can't say that now. There's young people dying. It was a 31-year-old that just died in Massachusetts. I mean,
I understand
just
that. But if there's 35... That's worse... So you want a Great Depression?
So I put it this way. I would rather be jobless than have my parents dead.
Okay. Well,
so would
I mean,
you.
That's
an easy decision to make. Like, that's an easy... I would rather be jobless than have my friends' parents be dead.
I would have
like, and
you,
that's unfortunately the decision.
I would have you really research what 35% unemployment would do to the country.
Yes, it's awful. It's the worst. But it's better than people being dead.
No. You don't know how many people that would kill. 35% unemployment. There's no way to handle it. I mean, people wouldn't be able to eat. There'd be bread lines. I mean, it would be a state of chaos,
And it would keep the virus around. If you rushed people back,
no,
before
I'm
this
talking,
thing goes
I'm
away,
I'm talking about if it went into the if you got to the point where that all these businesses were closing, and there's been massive layoffs at our company, and I mean, obviously, that doesn't seem like you have a whole lot of sympathy for that. But there's been a bunch of massive layoffs at our company.
It's
there's
awful.
Been a bunch,
it's the worst.
Awful.
It's awful, but it's better than death.
Okay, well, I would.
And you disagree? You would rather have
there's
people die than be unemployed.
There's 35%.
It's
unemployment.
Awful. It's awful, and it's horrendous, and it sucks that this is the reality.
I would really have you think about what 35%.
And by the way, the other thing that you're thinking about, not thinking about too, is that if you rush people out, the hospitals are already full. That's going to make it even worse.
I didn't say to do it tomorrow. I said if this goes on for months, that you would have to make a decision. If you want 35% unemployment and you want people not to be able to live and lose their ability to house and feed themselves, or if you wanted to, you know, have a virus. And that's a philosophical or a moral quandary.
Businesses
that
will shut down anyway if people go to work with the virus there. Like, they're going to shut down anyway.
I'm talking about... months from now.
Yes. And if the virus if the virus is gone, absolutely. I can't wait for everybody to get back to work.
Talk to people that are out of work now and talk to people that have been fired within the last few days.
Yes. And it would be awesome if everyone was back to work. But unfortunately, if people got back to work while the virus is still there, it would be so much more than just, oh, let's trade a few dead people. It would overwhelm the hospitals to such a degree that even people like cancer patients would not have room in the hospital to be able to get treated. People with any kind of other ailments outside of the coronavirus. So you have to wait until this thing goes away for everyone to get back to normal. That's
so
just the reality
of
it.
You would be comfortable with 35% unemployment.
No, which, I just told you 1,000 times. It's awful. I would rather have people be alive.
Which is 20% was during the Great Depression.
Yes, it's awful.
We'd never get
out
of it.
You would be comfortable sending people back to work while the virus is there?
If it was months from now and there was a 35% of people
and the virus is still out there, you would send people back.
In 35% of people didn't have jobs and they couldn't feed themselves?
You would send people back to work.
Hang on a second. And people didn't have jobs and couldn't feed themselves and couldn't house themselves? Yes, I would be comfortable with that.
Okay, tell me what happens then when you send people back to work and everyone gets sick. What happens? What happens to the economy then?
You're
not earning money if your company is shut down because all of your employees are getting sick and the hospitals are overfilled. You haven't thought this through, Fred.
I've thought it through, Rich. 35% of unemployment doesn't get fixed.
Yes, it's awful.
It's not awful. It doesn't get fixed. You can't fix that. It doesn't just immediately snap back.
I don't see how you don't understand that it gets worse if you send people back while there's still the virus. It gets worse. The economy will get worse if you send people back.
It will not get worse
than
35% unemployment, and it won't. And then
if it's at 35% and the virus is still out there and you send people back to work, it gets worse. More people get sick. More businesses shut down. Even worse than before. The hospitals get even more flooded. Fred, fixing the economy isn't just, hey, get back to work. You have to wait till the virus is gone to do that for the economy to get back to normal.
How many people do you know who have lost their jobs?
A ton.
Okay, and what are they going to do?
It sucks. It's awful.
No. It sucks. What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to unfortunately have to apply for unemployment, which many of them have.
Okay, and what is that? So if they've been living at a certain standard and they and by the way, if you're filing for unemployment and 35% of the country is filing for unemployment, who finances that?
Fred, you don't understand that it doesn't help the economy to go back to work before the virus is gone. It makes it worse.
Okay, if 35% of the country is unemployed,
okay,
how did you fund the unemployment?
Tell me what happens when people go back to work before the virus.
Answer the question. If 35%, answer the question. That's all I'm asking you to do. If 35% of the country is unemployed, how do you fund their unemployment?
I know. It takes a massive hit to the economy.
Answer it. How do you do it?
Fred, you can't send people back without the virus. It makes the economy worse. Here's what happens.
It becomes
40% unemployment.
I'm asking you a question. If 35% of the workforce is not working, how do you give them all unemployment?
There's a chance that it runs out of money.
Okay, so what do they do?
What do those people do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bad spot.
No.
Awful.
What do they do?
Well, here's what happens. If they go back, it turns to 40% or 45%. Fred, you don't hear what I'm saying. It makes it worse heading people back.
If I ask you a question, I expect an answer.
What are they supposed to do? Okay, well, they don't eat. They starve. It's tough. Dude, it sucks. But it's worse. But if you send people back to work, more people starve.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think you're hearing this. It's worse. It makes things worse.
You'd rather have 35% of the country starve than get the coronavirus.
Fred, what part of if you send them back before the virus is away, you have higher unemployment? It gets worse.
You don't.
What point? Yes, you do. Tell me, what happens then?
How much are the people are asymptomatic that get the virus?
A lot.
Okay, so if 35% of the country, you just said it, they starve.
Yes.
Okay, so you're comfortable with 30% of
the country starving. No, not at all. But if you send people back, then 40% of the country ends up being unemployed.
That's absolutely not true.
It is. It is true.
It's not.
People get sick. It floods the – you don't understand, Fred. You have not thought this through.
All right,
you
Marty,
have not read anything
three,
about this.
I haven't read anything about it. Shut up. Marty, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. Listen, Fred, you're 100% right. If I can't work, then I don't provide for my family, which means I lose my house and I lose everything else. I would rather deal with this virus out here than deal with all the repercussions that if I don't have a job.
All right, Barry, line four, go ahead.
Fred, totally agree with you. I work in healthcare, and I don't want to say where, but 35% unemployment, no health insurance. You're not going to be able to take care of your family. We will likely have a vaccine in about 2 years. The mortality rate for this virus is actually a lot less than 5%. One 31-year-old is an outlier. Rich is completely wrong.
Matt, go ahead on line one.
All right, guys, just to put a little perspective, during the Great Depression in the 20s, at the highest point, it was 25% unemployment, and about 4 million people starved to death at that. At 35%, we're looking at 7 to 10 million people starving to death, food riots. This will not come back. I'm not saying that we just give up and fight the virus and go back to work, but there needs to be a balanced approach. Some people are going to have to suffer and not work, and some people have to go to work and fight the virus head on. That's my point. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think that you've thought it through, Rich.
Kevin, line two. Kevin,
go ahead.
So, dude, you're telling me you choose life? I mean, you choose death over employment? that's more important to you.
There's 35% of the population that can't feed themselves. What are they going to do?
Dude, this is going to end.
Rich, Fred, it's stop it. End. Let me ask him a question.
This is going to end. It's not the end of the world. If we survive the Great Depression, we can survive this. But if you're saying that basically your life is more important.
How did the Great Depression end? How did the Great Depression end? World War II, stupid. Line 5, Adam, go ahead.
Fred, you're 100% right. I'm sorry to say, but people are going to die regardless. You know, it's a matter of how many people are going to die.
Yes, you know, that's exactly right. It's a matter of how many people are going to die. You can't force yourself back. This is going to go away, but if you go back too early, more people die and the economy gets worse.
No, it doesn't. People are going to die anyway because they're not going to find a way to pay for the bills. They're not going to find a way to feed their families. People are going to kill themselves. It's called suicide. You know,
all right. What business is going to open up in the middle of the coronavirus? Tell me. What business is going to open up?
I didn't say this month. I said if
there are guidelines in place to open up, you know, in phases. You can apply what we have learned and open up in phases. You cannot go like this.
When it's safe, open it up. Yes, when it's safe, I agree. But you can't force it back.
It's not going to go away. It's a virus. It's another strain of the flu. It's more.
Oh boy! You know, so you obviously
It's stronger than the flu. It's not going to go away. It's going to come back next year, next season, and the season after that, and after that. I mean, we have to deal with it.
It's going away in other countries.
Greg, go ahead on line 3.
All right, boys. Listen, I've been listening to you guys since the BCN days, and every day when I tune in, Rich is just on a rant about how, like, we're all going to die, and this
is
so
bad. I never said
that.
Matter of fact, I'm promoting the opposite of that. I'm promoting staying home.
Because you can stay home. Like, you're still working. You're at home. You're working. What about us, like, other guys that have to go out and still work to get by? So are we, like, less valuable?
No. What are you doing for a living?
I work in construction.
Okay. Yes. Are you still working right now or not? It sucks if you have to work. I mean, obviously it's tough, and you know you shouldn't have to. But you realize the only way to beat this is for everyone to have to stay home. You realize that?
I live paycheck to paycheck, man. I can't do that. I can't just stay home. I don't think you realize that the common guy just can't stay home.
I
just
know it's
work from home. Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, got to wake up, you know, put my pajamas on and hop on the radio and talk on the radio, get on my computer. Everyone else has, like, there's so many other people that have to go about their daily life. And, like, I have to wake up every morning to hear, like, you're, like, pushing this hysteria. At least, you know what, you might say that, like, Fred is ignorant on things, which is true. But, you know what, it's like, at least he's trying not to, like, create a state of panic.
I'm telling people to stay home, which is the opposite of a state of panic.
I'm saying if there's a point in the summer where there's 35% unemployment that people have to go back to work.
No matter how bad the virus is.
Yep.
Well, then that's irresponsible because it just makes it worse and unemployment
gets
higher.
Well, you obviously cannot understand what people's situations are.
Well, more people are going to die
Nick,
if you do
go
that.
Ahead.
And the economy gets
Nick,
worse.
Nick, go ahead. No, it
the
won't.
Economy
Nick,
gets
go ahead.
Worse.
Nick, go ahead.
Rich, let me ask you something. Do you think that this COVID-19 would actually lead to more deaths than what a depression that could be would, like what Fred's saying? Do you actually think that long-term a depression wouldn't be as bad as what this COVID-19 is leading to right now?
I would say you can even take that part away from it and say that going back to work while COVID-19 is there makes the unemployment rate worse. It gets more people sick and closes down more businesses. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to argue with you there because I don't know about that. But it's just I agree with Fred in the sense that he's thinking longer term. He thinks that if we keep doing what we're doing, and I don't completely disagree with you, I think what we're doing right now is the right thing to do.
I agree.
But I think long term, it's going to be absolutely catastrophic if we just keep people out of work, and it would lead to even more, like, way more deaths.
Well, it's not even the death part. If you're doing it about the economy, going back while the virus is still here makes the economy worse.
Tom, go ahead.
I think the thing that Rich is missing that Fred's trying to say is that it's not tomorrow. We're talking like June or July to start this all up again.
Yes, and if the virus is gone, then great.
Right, but the other thing is, the worst model that they were talking about with the virus, if the virus was full bore and we hadn't done anything from the beginning, it was 2 to 4 million people were going to die in the U.S. If we have 100 million people without a job, we're going to see deaths way higher than that. And I agree, we can't go back, we can't rush it, but we can't come this middle of the summer just decide, well, you know, we're not ready. We got to send people back so that there's money moving.
I mean, people are going to starve, people are going to die, and it's going to be much worse than the coronavirus. I understand not having football or not having mass gatherings and not having Motley Crue concerts, but I mean, it's really naive to say that that the loss of 35% of the workforce, that you have 65% of the country not working, is not a big deal. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, we've got some news going on with the Patriots, and then there were two at quarterback.
All right, we will be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, I wasn't taking this whole coronavirus situation seriously, but when this guy issues a warning in jeans, you know things just got real.
Hello, this is Bill Belichick. I want to reach out to you in these uncertain and unprecedented times to let you know that I and the New England Patriots are behind you. We are all in this together. Thank you to our heroic medical professionals, doctors, nurses, medical workers, and others who are selflessly and courageously doing their job to take care of others in need. We have heard your stories and seen some of your great work. You are truly champions and warriors. We are facing a difficult opponent. It will take teamwork, discipline, and commitment to do the right things all the time. That includes staying at home. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus together. There are plenty of things we cannot do right now, but let's focus on what we can do. We can adapt, we can adjust, and we can make better decisions right now for the betterment of the future. As I tell our team, let's keep stringing good days together, and we will get through this.
He did that all without a do your job. I thought that was going to be in there. And one of the best things, what's that?
It was off the top of his head, too.
Yeah, didn't look like he was reading that at all.
Well, one of the best things about that clip, I don't know if you saw this, but several of our listeners noted that in the background of his obligatory bookshelf was one big long box that just said, Jovi. So not only does he have a box set of some sort, but he prominently displays it in his living room for only his finest guests to see when they come over. It's over like in the back left by his right near where his arm is, it just says Jovi.
Really?
Yeah.
So
well,
do you think it's just a collection of his drawings, or
I think it's a box set. I believe.
what box set are they putting in?
Everyone's got albums. A crappy box set.
They had two albums.
Oh come on! You haven't listened to any of the new ones. They're excellent.
Yeah, the greatest. They had Slippery When Wet in New Jersey.
That's right.
And New Jersey sucked. So I'm questioning the box set idea. There's not enough material.
I was expecting Bill to go, well, just hopefully we're halfway there.
You know, we're all living on a prayer right now.
Oh, you know what's kind of awesome? And this is a story that I just heard about. And, John, you know a little bit more about this than I do. But you know how all of the governors are having to fight against each other and bid against each other to get these masks and equipment that all the hospitals need in order to treat the coronavirus patients? Governor Baker did something out of the box, and apparently Robert Kraft is helping him out. John, you've got the story, right?
Yeah, Charlie Baker brokered a deal with officials in Shenzhen, China, to bring 1.2 million masks home back to Boston to help with the fight against the coronavirus. And apparently Baker and Jonathan Kraft are good friends. Jonathan Kraft is the chairman of the board at Mass General Hospital and volunteered Kraft's plane to go to Shenzhen, and that is exactly what happened. The masks are due back here. They're going to land at Logan this afternoon.
All right, so they're saying to wear a mask now when you go out. So what I thought I would do is I would be responsible, and I would get masks that could be reused. They're cloth masks, and you can wash them. I thought that this was a way to, you know, not affect the medical community, that you could get these things. And, you know, they're going to get here in, like, you know, June. They're never going to get here.
I have a friend of mine who's a doctor who texted me a picture yesterday of him wearing what is one of those things that you wear when you ski that covers your mouth. Right. So it's like, you know, it's like the weather mask that goes over your nose. He's had to resort to wearing that. He's a doctor at one of the hospitals.
So I don't understand, because they're like, okay, go out now. China might have been right. Go out and wear a mask. And I don't understand at all how you're supposed to get them. Like, it's like they're like, oh, yeah, now you got to wear a mask. And I'm like, where the F am I going to get a mask?
Yeah.
And so I went to Amazon, and I don't want to get a bunch of surgical masks because I think, you know, that obviously I know people need them. And so I said, okay, I won't get those. They have these reusable ones that you can, and plus they're sleek, they're cool. And so I bought those. It's like three of them, and they're cloth. You can wash them and everything. And they're not coming forever. So so good luck getting masks. Get toilet paper.
In fairness, Fred, the masks that they're saying that you should wear now are not the same ones that they're fighting over for the doctors. The doctors are the N95, like shell masks.
The
ones that they're saying you should wear here are just the regular, like, paper, like, surgical masks.
Right.
Not the N95 ones.
Right. Those are the ones with, like, the ventilator thing on them?
They're hard. They're, like, almost like hard shell.
Right. All right. We went on so long for the first break that we got a break. Here's the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Thatcher and Rich.
I can't think that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
So in the meanwhile, while making PSAs, Belichick's also cutting some fools from the roster. Cody Kessler, no longer a quarterback on the depth chart. Signed last year, as we know, Kessler was the third quarterback on the Pats roster and now leaves the team with just Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. So that comes, that news comes as Jeff Howe wrote in The Athletic that the Patriots have expressed no interest in signing Cam Newton or trading for Andy Dalton, despite what insiders on my direct messages are saying. Besides, they don't even have the cap space to make that happen anyway.
Exactly.
So it looks like Stiddy's the guy come game one, whenever that may be, unless, of course, as people have speculated, they trade Gilmore, get a bunch of first-round picks, package them up, wrangle a unicorn from the sky, and trade them all for Tua. Who knows if that's going to happen. But one thing that was floated out there yesterday from Bill Simmons, so take it for what it's worth, is that Julian Edelman to the Lions is something that could be happening soon. Yeah, I could 1,000% see that happening.
Take an old-ass slot receiver who's been hit 5 million times.
Didn't they just sign Danny Amendola, who's a young version, or an old version of Edelman? Isn't it basically the same thing?
Yeah. They had him last year, and they extended him. Yep. So that's Patricia's plan, is to take as many of the old Patriots as he can, so Edelman can sit there and, you know, have one decent year and then be on his way.
Yep. So I say do it. Get something. I'm all in on this full reboot of a team. I mean, pull that Band-Aid all the way off.
If I'm trading for Edelman, I'm giving, what, a fifth?
Yeah, you're not getting much.
I think there was a third rounder that they had mentioned that the Lions had.
Woof.
You could see Patricia doing something dumb like that and the Lions doing something dumb like that.
Well, that would be really dumb.
Yeah, it would be really dumb.
That would be really dumb.
Well, here's the thing. If you're the Patriots and Edelman is going to be 34 in May, next month, he's going to be 34. He's taking a lot of punishment, and Edelman's right at that spot as a slot receiver where Wes Welker passed his expiration date on the field. If you're the Patriots and you realize this coming year, you figure Edelman has one more productive year left with all the punishment he takes, why not trade him? Why not?
Yeah.
You're not going to win 12 games in a Super Bowl this year. At least it doesn't look that way unless something really strange happens. If you only have 1 year left of Edelman at a productive rate and you always sell before the guy gets too old, why not trade Edelman in the next 3 weeks?
No, I'd trade him. I just wouldn't give anything up for him. I'd give a fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick. I mean, what are you going to give up for him? I mean, what are you going to get in return? I mean, if I was the Lions and I was Patricia, and Patricia's got to win, and so does their GM, who's out of the Patriot system. And so if I'm one of those guys, I mean, maybe I'll trade for Edelman, but I'm giving you nothing. Or I'm truly, truly stupid. Because, I mean, he's old, and he dropped a ton of balls last year.
But if you just look at the numbers, which somebody like Matt Patricia is going to convince the money people that this is all you need. I mean, he had over 1,100 yards.
100 catches.
I'd have to take a look.
I'm looking at it. 100 catches.
Yeah, 100 catches, 1,100 yards, and that number makes you think, okay, it might be justified of a third-round pick. But we all know, obviously, that he's older and, you know, he did drop a lot. But you could see someone giving up a third-round pick for him.
I don't see that. You would have to be phenomenally dumb. I mean, you would have to be phenomenally dumb to give a third-round pick. Third-round pick in this draft, you can get a really good receiver. I mean, this receiver class is, I think, the deepest it's been in decades. So, I mean, you can get a really good receiver in the third round. I'm not even sure I give up a fifth for Edelman.
No, but I think that would be the Patriots asking price would be a three. I don't know if they get it, but I think that would be the Patriots asking price.
All I know is that my opinion.
Digging at Julian Edelman.
You can take him away. I think that now it doesn't matter to me. My attitude with trading people on this team is ABS. Anyone but Slater. You can take him, man, as long as you keep Slates around.
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
You need that leadership quality. That's why they keep him around.
He runs down the field plenty of times if you score.
It's true. Meanwhile, Jules wants to make sure you get your pump on. So he's hosting a Facebook Live workout session along with Planet Fitness tonight at 7 p.m. It's a work-in session, you know, because you're not really going out. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see a heartbroken man shielding his pain through 60 minutes of the Black Eyed Peas, then by all means, the internet is your heaven tonight.
By the way, just a quick aside about, you know, how Julian always wants to follow Tom Brady. Brady's going to go to Tampa. He's going to win 10 games. He's going to take him to the playoffs. You send Edelman to an outpost like Detroit where, you know, in the middle of winter, it's cold, it's snowing, he's trapped on a team that's 6-10, he knows he only has maybe 2 years left. How depressed would he get?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be a good scene. Not going to be a good scene.
If Stafford's healthy, I am not positive that that's going to be a terrible team. But
okay, 8-8.
They might be better than the Patriots.
I'd say it's close, but I'd still, considering the Lions' track record of being mediocre, I would take the Patriots.
Would you say they've been mediocre? They've been horrible.
I'm sorry. I was being nice. I apologize.
Yeah, why?
I take it all back.
Where's this mediocre come from that you speak of?
And by the way, meanwhile, if you want a confirmation that Antonio Brown is still an a-hole, rest assured he is. Yesterday, pictures surfaced of him doing the opposite of social distancing, not only working out with, but also hugging Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown from the Ravens, as well as some other people he's working out with. And to that, Bill Belichick rubs his chin while in isolation and says, Antonio, getting all of the elite AFC teams sick? Everything is going according to plan. Here's my jeans for the world to see.
All right.
And my Bon Jovi box set that I display in my living room.
All right. I didn't know that. That's prominently focused in his living room. I do enjoy that.
Yep, right there.
All right. We'll be back, and we will have the Bankroll Boys. And just because I'm fascinated on what they're gambling on. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.